A 1990 graduate of the University of South Carolina, Alex Murdaugh holds a Bachelor's of Arts degree in political science and a Juris Doctorate degree. Murdaugh, a prominent South Carolina attorney known for representing injured people in all areas of personal injury law, including trucking cases, products liability, and wrongful death. But he also served as a part-time prosecutor for the 14th Judicial Circuit. He was a member of the Murdaugh family, a prestigious American legal family in the Lowcountry region of South Carolina. And from 1920 to 2006, three members of the family consecutively served as solicitor, also known as the district attorney in other parts of the country. Being in charge of prosecuting all criminal cases in the state's 14th Circuit District, leading locals to call the five-county district Murdaugh Country. The family also founded a nationally influential civil litigation law firm in Hampton, South Carolina in 2019 amid allegations of special treatment. Several members of the Murdaugh family were implicated in a fatal boating accident. But it was in 2021 when two members of the family were murdered while another was implicated in the mishandling of funds. It was then that Alex Murdaugh became prime suspect number one. The Latin term mens re refers to criminal intent. The literal translation from Latin is guilty mind. Establishing the mens re of an offender is usually necessary to prove guilt in a criminal trial. The prosecution typically must prove beyond reasonable doubt that the defendant committed the offense with a culpable state of mind. With that, four elements must be determined: purpose, knowledge, recklessness, and negligence. The difference between acting intentionally and acting knowingly is somewhat subtle. The difference between recklessness and knowledge is that where a person acts knowingly, he acts with the certainty that a certain result will follow from his actions. However, where a man acts recklessly, the person does not know for sure that a specific result will follow. Rather, he only knows that there is a substantial risk that the result will follow. Could a seasoned attorney use these very elements to cover up his crimes? I don't know, but it's possible. And this is the unbelievable story of a sought-out lawyer turned murder suspect.
Recorded in Rocket City, USA. No bullshit. Just real talk. And now Deuce Conrad.
From 1920 to 2006, three members of the Murdaugh family served as solicitor for a five-county area of South Carolina's Lowcountry region. Now, in South Carolina, the solicitor, analogous to the district attorney in other U.S. jurisdictions, is in charge of prosecuting all criminal cases in that jurisdiction. You see, the 14th Circuit District oversees Allendale, Colton, Hampton, Beaufort, and Jasper counties. It is the only judicial circuit in the state to cover five counties. Described by NPR as one of South Carolina's most prominent legal families, the Murdaughs were featured in the cover story for a 1989 issue of Carolina Lawyer magazine. It was according to columnist Kathleen Parker that the jurisdiction of the 14th Circuit District was known as Murdaugh Country, where the justice system was regarded as rigged and local attorneys would move to settle a case rather than have it go to trial. Randolph Murdaugh Sr. was born in Varnville and graduated from the law school at the University of South Carolina. And upon graduation, Murdaugh Sr. founded a one-man law firm in Hampton, South Carolina, which is about 65 miles inland from Charleston. He did that in 1910. And then in 1920, he became solicitor in the 14th Judicial District, and he held that position until 1940. That's when he was killed in a collision between his car and a train. In addition to being solicitor, he also ran the local daily newspaper, the Hampton County Herald. Murdaugh Sr. would be succeeded by his son, Randolph Buster Murdaugh Jr., who would serve as solicitor from 1940 to 1986. And it was in his 42 years in office that Buster ran opposed only twice. He was known for his love of chewing tobacco, his courtroom prowess, and his flair for acting out murders before spellbound juries. And according to Professor John Bloom of Cornell Law School, Buster was rebuked several times by the state Supreme Court for his closing arguments in several death penalty cases. And in fact, in 1956, he was indicted by a federal grand jury for allegedly warning a bootlegger to move a steel into a neighboring county to avoid the police. But he would be acquitted. Buster retired in 1986 and, well, he died in 1998. And Buster was succeeded as solicitor by his son, Randolph Murdaugh III, who took office in 1986. And he ran unopposed in every election and held office until retiring in 2006. Randolph III was married to Elizabeth Alexander, and they had four children, including three sons, Randolph IV, called Randy, Richard Alexander, or Alex, both of whom entered the family firm, and then there was John Marvin. In 2019, Randolph III was awarded the Order of the Palmetto, South Carolina's highest civilian recognition by Governor Henry McMaster. He retired in 2006 and died of natural causes on June the 10th of 2021. Now, Alex, on the other hand, he also graduated from USC. He did so in 1990. And then went on to USC School of Law in 1994, like those before him in the family. And he soon joined the Murdaugh family firm, volunteering part-time in the 14th Circuit Solicitor's Office. Now, Alex married Margaret Kennedy Brandstetter, known as Maggie, and they had two sons, Richard Alexander Jr., who took on the family name of Buster, and Paul Terry, who was born in 1999. Now, because of the family's decade-long control of the office of solicitor, you can only imagine it wielded enormous judicial and political power for almost a century. And after several Murdaugh family members were implicated in a fatal boating accident in 2019, and after two family members were murdered in a double homicide in 2021, the family's influence on the local judicial system was scrutinized.
Do you have a beard? It's a legitimate question. You know, a beard says a lot about a man. A beard can define a man just by looking at him. Screw what they say. You can judge a book by its cover, and a beard is one hell of a cover. But let me ask you this, how do you take care of your beard? Are you putting chemicals into your face that will basically eat the hide off of a zombie? Stop that shit. Be a badass and start using Badass Beard Care. Look, it's all natural. It's made by badass vets, and it will make your beard so incredibly soft, so incredibly manly. And you can get a free trial set today by going to deuceconrad.com and selecting Own Promotions.
You see, it was the killing of a mother and son, millions of dollars in stolen funds, fresh investigations into a fatal boat crash, and a housekeeper's deadly fall. Now, it was these tragic circumstances swirling around a lawyer and his family in South Carolina, which became only more perplexing over time, leading to several arrests, stunning twists, and intricate theories arising from those following the case. But at its center is the Murdaugh family, whose members have served in powerful legal positions in the southern part of the state going back 100 years. It all began on the night of June 7, 2021, when Alex Murdaugh, a lawyer whose father, grandfather, and great-grandfather all served as the top prosecutor across a wide area of the state, called 911 to report that his wife and one of their two sons had been shot to death. Now, a sense of mystery developed around their killings as more than a year passed without the authorities naming a suspect or identifying a motive for the slayings. But then on July 14, 2022, Alex Murdaugh, age 54, was indicted on two counts of murder, with prosecutors saying that he fatally shot his wife with a rifle and his son with a shotgun. Now, the initial investigation has spawned several more into three previous deaths in the proximity to the family. Mr. Murdaugh first ended up in handcuffs after concocting a bizarre scheme to stage his own suicide to look like a murder and being charged with stealing millions of dollars from a settlement fund. You see, the fatal shooting of Alex Murdaugh's wife, Maggie, and their son, Paul, who was a 22-year-old junior at the University of South Carolina, rocked the state's Lowcountry region where the family had established its legal dynasty. The killings began to be known as the Murdaugh murders. Now, a few details were released about the attack, and no arrests were made for more than a year. Alex Murdaugh told the authorities that he had discovered their bodies when he returned to the family's isolated home in Islington, a rural hamlet some 65 miles west of Charleston. In an audio of his call to 911, which he placed just after 10 p.m., a distraught Alex Murdaugh said that he had arrived home and found their bodies on the ground out at his kennel. He says, "I've been up to it now. It's bad," Mr. Murdaugh told the dispatcher. He said that neither his wife nor his son was breathing, and he implored the emergency responders to hurry. "Are they close, ma'am?" Officers with the Colton County Sheriff's Office wrote in reports that they had discovered several shell casings and had called a tow truck company to the scene. They also said that they had looked for surveillance cameras from neighboring homes and businesses, though the heavily redacted police reports did not indicate whether they found any. Now, Alex Murdaugh and his lawyers have steadfastly denied that he had any involvement in the deaths of his wife and son. And after Alex Murdaugh was charged, state police and the South Carolina Attorney General, which are investigating the case, did not immediately release any new details or even a motive in the killings.
Are you looking for unbiased news in a world of biased media? Look no further. 1440 provides an impartial view of what's happening in the world so our readers can form their own conclusions. 1440 scours hundreds of sources each and every day to bring you a single morning briefing thoughtfully curated by experts, straight to your email with no haggling or unnecessary spam. Get even more benefits by signing up through the Deuce Conrad Show affiliate link. Visit www.deuceconradshow.com and select promotions to sign up today.
Nearly 3 months after his wife and son were killed, Alex Murdaugh was forced to resign from his family law firm, PMPED. Named for the initials of its partners, after leaders at the firm said that Alex Murdaugh had misused millions of dollars of client and firm money, for which his lawyers have not denied. The next day, September 4th, Mr. Murdaugh called 911 and said he had been shot in the head on the side of a rural road not far from his home. He survived with only a minor wound and initially claimed that he had been shot by someone who pulled up beside him as he was inspecting a flat tire on his car. But that story quickly fell apart. Alex Murdaugh soon admitted that he had asked one of his distant cousins to shoot him in the head. Mr. Murdaugh's lawyer said that he had come up with a plan to make his suicide look like a murder because he had falsely believed that his life insurance plan would not cover his death if it was ruled a suicide. And he had wanted to leave his older son, Buster, with a $10 million payout. Now, 2 days after the shooting, Mr. Murdaugh issued a statement apologizing to his family, friends, and colleagues and said that he was entering rehab. His lawyer said that he had been addicted for years to oxycodone and that his abuse of the painkiller had worsened after the death of his wife and son. Alex Murdaugh's law license was suspended, and his law firm is suing him over the money they accused him of stealing. His scheme to have his cousin kill him also ended the arrest of both Mr. Murdaugh and his cousin, Curtis Edward Smith. Mr. Smith was charged with aggravated assault, assisting in a suicide attempt, and insurance fraud. Curtis Smith told the New York Times that he did not shoot Mr. Murdaugh, and that the gun had gone off as he grabbed Alex Murdaugh's arm to stop him from shooting himself. Alex Murdaugh turned himself into the police on September the 16th and was charged with insurance fraud, conspiracy to commit insurance fraud, and filing a false police report, all felonies in the state of South Carolina. But it was in a courtroom in Hampton County that Alex Murdaugh wept behind a face mask as he sat handcuffed and in a jail jumpsuit as one of his lawyers described his fall from grace. He was released without having to forfeit any money, though he was arrested about a month later on financial crimes and has been in jail ever since. In July of 2022, Mr. Murdaugh and Mr. Smith were indicted on conspiracy charges for what prosecutors said was years of money laundering, related to nothing else but distributing oxycodone.
I bet you have been to Walmart at some time in your life and probably shopped there. I bet you even probably get groceries there from time to time. Did you know that Walmart has grocery pickup? And in fact, I can save you $15 on your first order of $50 or more. For more information, go to www.deuceconradshow.com and select promotions. There'll be a link there where you can sign up as a new customer, and again, you'll save $15 on that first order of $50 or more.
February of 2018, Gloria Satterfield, who had worked as a nanny and housekeeper for Alex Murdaugh and his family for more than 20 years, fell at their home and died from her injury several weeks later. After her funeral, Mr. Murdaugh introduced her two adult sons to a lawyer who he said would take care of them, but the son said in a recent lawsuit that they did not know that the lawyer, Corey Fleming, was a close friend of Mr. Murdaugh's. Now, Mr. Fleming reached a $4.3 million settlement with Mr. Murdaugh and his insurance. It was supposed to send about $2.8 million to Ms. Satterfield's sons after lawyer's fees, but the son said in September that they had learned about the deal only recently, and they haven't even received a dime. Now, in October, the police arrested Mr. Murdaugh, this time apprehending him at a detox center in Orlando, Florida, and charged him with two counts of obtaining property by false pretenses, a felony with a maximum penalty of 10 years in prison in connection with the missing settlement funds. But Alex Murdaugh admitted last month that he owed her sons $4.3 million. And in addition to the settlement, the police are also looking into the cause of Miss Satterfield's death. Her family had long thought, based on the Murdaugh family's accounts, that she had tripped over their dogs and fallen down the front steps of their home. But the local coroner was not notified about her death, and no autopsy was ever completed, and her death is also listed as natural on her death certificate, which is at odds with an accidental fall. But the police said in June of 2022 that they planned to exhume Ms. Satterfield's body after receiving permission from her family. Now, at the time of his death, Paul Murdaugh, the son who was killed, was out on bail after being charged in 2019 with drunkenly crashing a boat in an accident that killed one of its passengers, 19-year-old Mallory Beach, and it has also injured several others. Documents and videos released since his death have raised questions about whether the police were sloppy or could they have possibly gave him favorable treatment? One of the boat's six passengers told a Department of Natural Resources officer shortly after the crash that Paul Murdaugh had been driving the boat, but the officer wrote in the report that the passenger had said he was not sure who was driving. Now, the South Carolina Attorney General is still investigating the crash in which Paul Murdaugh faced a charge of boating under the influence causing death and two charges of boating under the influence causing great bodily injury, all felonies. Now, the authorities have not made any ties between the boat crash and the double killing of Paul and his mother. But in June of 2021, two of Alex Murdaugh's brothers appeared on the ABC program Good Morning America, and they said in one of the few public comments from the family that Paul, their nephew, had been getting threatening messages since being charged in the boating accident. Now, the housekeeper's death is not the only one to receive fresh scrutiny. You see, in June of 2021, a few weeks after the death of Maggie and Paul, the South Carolina Law Enforcement Division announced that it was opening a new inquiry into the death of Stephen Smith. Yeah, here's another person. Stephen Smith, a 19-year-old person whose body was found on a road about 10 miles from the Murdaugh home. Now, his death has never been fully explained and no arrests were made. In fact, it was initially investigated as a possible shooting, and then it was considered to be a hit and run. You see, police files have suggested that Mr. Smith ran out of gas on the side of the road several miles away from where his body was found. The police have not accused the Murdaugh family of wrongdoing in the case, and they have not said what during their Murdaugh investigation led them to open an investigation into Mr. Smith's death. Now, it would be premature of me, or anyone else for that matter, to say that Alex Murdaugh should receive the death penalty prior to a hearing, to hearing an evidence-based narrative from police and prosecutors regarding the particulars of this, of the grisly homicides he stands accused of committing on June 7th of 2021. What we all know is that the disgraced, disbarred former attorney is accused of doing in connection with the Murdaugh murders crime and corruption saga, obviously. And there are plenty of theories as to why and how he may have done it. Now, as of this podcast, though, police and prosecutors have not divulged any information tied to the murders of 52-year-old Maggie Murdaugh or 22-year-old Paul Murdaugh. Nor, for that matter, have they released any of the evidence which reportedly links Alex Murdaugh to the savage slayings of his wife and younger son. And until such information is provided, speculation about whether the South Carolina Attorney General, Alan Wilson, may or may not be seeking the death penalty against Alex Murdaugh is basically uninformed. Now, also, there is an even bigger issue to consider. In the event Alex Murdaugh were to be sentenced to death, would South Carolina be able to execute him? You see, the Palmetto State has not carried out an execution since May 6 of 2011. And recent changes to its capital punishment laws are currently tied up in court. So on the surface, though, his certainty has all the appearance of a slam dunk capital case for Attorney General Wilson.
Acorns is the leading micro investing app in the United States. It's easy to use. Mobile-first technology makes it simple for anyone to set aside and invest life spare money. Acorns allows customers to automatically invest in a low-cost, diversified portfolio of exchange-traded funds offered by some of the world's top asset managers, including Vanguard and BlackRock. Customers grow their wealth in one of five portfolios constructed with help from world-renowned Nobel Laureate economist Dr. Harry Markowitz. Acorn's smart portfolio algorithms automatically work in the background of life, helping users build wealth naturally, pennies at a time. From Acorns, mighty oaks do grow. Hey, I'm using Acorns, and I love how easy it is to save and invest for my future. Join me, and you'll get a free $5 investment. Go to www.deuceconradshow.com and select the promotions link, and from there, you can sign up directly with Acorns.
Now, the state of South Carolina provides for the death penalty in murder cases, providing a statutory aggravating circumstance is found beyond a reasonable doubt. You see, these aggravating circumstances are specifically enumerated in South Carolina Code of Laws 16-3-20 and are to be determined on a case-by-case basis in proceedings which are held separately from the murder trial once a guilty plea or verdict has been entered into the record. So, if a defendant in a capital case pleads guilty before trial, the sentencing decision falls to a circuit court judge. If a defendant is found guilty by a jury of his or her peers during a public trial, the decision is made by the same trial jury which heard the original case. Now, like the determination of a defendant's guilt, any aggravating factors must be proven beyond reasonable doubt in order for the death penalty to be imposed. Now, that we're all familiar with the ground rules, what are the factors which could move the needle one way or the other? Well, there are 12 aggravating factors listed under the law, and although the first factor encapsulates 11 separate crimes, which if committed alongside murder would elevate the latter charge to a capital case, those crimes would include criminal sexual conduct, kidnapping, human trafficking, burglary, robbery, larceny, drug trafficking, poisoning, torturing, and dismemberment and arson. Now, the other aggravating factors deal specifically with the defendant, his or her victims, and the crime itself and the motive for committing it. And as you might imagine, several items on this list could conceivably factor into the Murdaugh proceedings. First, receiving money or a thing of monetary value via the commission of a murder is considered an aggravating circumstance. And so is murdering a witness or potential witness for the purpose of impeding or deterring prosecution of any crime. Was there a financial motive associated with these murders, or were they an attempt by Alex Murdaugh to circumvent one or more of the various criminal inquiries swirling around him? But you know, prior to being charged with murder, Murdaugh was already indicted by a statewide grand jury on 79 criminal counts, alleging that he and his co-conspirators defrauded multiple victims out of nearly $8.5 million. He is also at the heart of an ongoing obstruction of justice inquiry related to that fatal 2019 boat crash, the incident which thrust him and his family onto the statewide stage, and, well, he continues to drive high-profile civil case involving the Murdaughs. You see, spouses cannot be compelled to testify against their significant others in the vast majority of criminal and civil cases in South Carolina, but they are not prohibited from doing so either. So if a spouse wishes to testify against their husband or wife in open court, they have that right. And so you can imagine theories abound as to whether Alex Murdaugh was trying to silence his wife and her son or attempting to profit from their deaths. But there is one aggravating circumstance which prosecutors should have absolutely no trouble proving. See, under the law, a case becomes eligible for the death penalty when two or more persons were murdered by the defendant by one act or pursuant to one scheme or course of conduct. It's those last three words, course of conduct, that could ultimately prove decisive in Wilson's decision to seek out the death penalty. Now, based on a barely intelligible remark made in his 911 call on the night of the murders, there is considerable speculation that Alex Murdaugh was not expecting his son to be on the family's sprawling 1,700-acre hunting property on that fateful evening last June. In fact, many believe that Paul Murdaugh, who was staring down a trio of felony charges related to the aforementioned boat crash at the time of his murder, was collateral damage during a premeditated killing of his mother. Now, assuming there is some legitimacy to those theories, and I'm not saying there is, prosecutors could conceivably argue that Paul's murder was part of a course of conduct undertaken by Murdaugh, even though it may not have been part of his original scheme. And on the flip side, expect that Murdaugh's attorneys, led by Dick Harpoian and Jim Griffin, to argue one or more of the mitigating circumstances which could lead a judge or jurist to opt against the death penalty. Among those, a defendant being under the influence of mental or emotional disturbance or acting under duress. Now, his attorneys could also argue that Murdaugh had no prior criminal conviction involving the use of violence against another person, which is also a mitigating factor under the statute. But ultimately, the decision on whether to seek the death penalty in this case falls on one person, the Attorney General, and he will more than likely consult with his senior advisors, the prosecutors on the case, and the family of Maggie Murdaugh. But the final decision is his alone and based on what he believes that he can prove in court. So what can he prove? Well, hopefully that will come clear based on the evidence begins filtering out over the course of the coming days, weeks, and months. But perhaps as soon as this coming week's bond hearing for Murdaugh in Colton County on two murder charges. Now, assuming Wilson seeks the death penalty and a judge or jury obliges him, the South Carolina Department of Corrections currently has no way of carrying out the sentence. And earlier this year, the South Carolina Supreme Court halted a pair of scheduled executions after death row inmates challenged the Palmetto State's new capital punishment law, which permitted executions by electrocution or firing squad in the event that lethal injection was unavailable. Now, lethal injections typically involve a three-drug cocktail. Okay? The companies which manufacture these drugs aren't selling them due to philosophical objections to the death penalty. However, also due to issues with the cocktail approach, several states have opted to use high doses of sodium thiopental barbiturate to execute inmates via one-drug method. Now, the federal government executed 8 people in 2020 using this exclusively. But until the court rules on the legality of these various methods, though, capital punishment will remain effectively outlawed in the Palmetto State. But all that right now really doesn't amount to a hill of beans as much as the question as to whether or not Alex Murdaugh committed murder, premeditated murder, and killed his wife and son. Unfortunately for us, it's going to be a while before we know that answer because we're awaiting trial. Alex Murdaugh is awaiting trial. And wouldn't it be something if an attorney concocted such a scheme in hopes of throwing off the judicial system and law enforcement, but also blinding those individuals who admired him or looked up to his family's legacy? Or perhaps, this was just shedding light on 100 years of corruption in the low country of South Carolina.
Thank you for listening to the Deuce Conrad Show on Spotify Podcast. In case you didn't know, you can also hear this podcast on Google Podcast and Apple Podcast and most podcast platforms across the web. For more information about tonight's show, you can also visit www.deuceconradshow.com. Visit show notes for more details.